Job chapter number 37, verse number 21, and we'll take my text from that particular verse. The Bible says, "And now men see not the bright light which is in the clouds, but the wind passeth and cleanseth them." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, I thank You for the Word of God, and I pray that You'll help us from the Scriptures here in this book of Job. I pray that You'll give us things that we need. Help us so that we can retain things that we need. Lord, You know so often we may hear things but not retain them. At least I can say that about myself. And I pray that You'll help us so that we can retain the things that we need, preparing us for things to come. I thank You that You are in control and You know all that is to come. And so I pray that You'll help us so that we can just simply do what is right, be prepared to do what is right. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I want to take as my text those words from verse 21, "The wind passeth and cleanseth them." Earlier I preached a message entitled, "God the Commander of the Clouds." The Bible talks about the thick cloud and the bright cloud in verse number 11. Then verses 12 and 13, the Scripture says, "And it is turned round about by His counsels, that they may do whatsoever He commandeth them upon the face of the world in the earth. He causeth it to come, whether for correction or for His land or for mercy." And there in that Scripture, of course, the Bible gives three things that God does in the commanding of the clouds. He commands the clouds for correction, for His land, and for mercy. Then beginning with verse number 14 of chapter 37, beginning with verse 14 and all the way through the remainder of the book, we have the last part of this speech of Eliphaz. In fact, these are the last verses of nearly six chapters where Eliphaz was spilling out his words. And in fact, it's as though that Eliphaz had been listening and he'd been fuming within. And finally, blew a gasket and started to spew. And for about six chapters, he spewed things out. And then finally, God spoke, beginning in the next chapter. Now, in verse number 14, the Bible says there, "Hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God." I think perhaps that Elihu thought if he could get Job thinking about the wondrous works of God in nature, then perhaps there would be a fear struck in Job's heart, and maybe Job would confess that it was because of his sin that these terrible things had happened in his life. And of course, I think that was a great goal of the three friends and then Elihu to bring Job to a point of confession, to bring him to a point where he would repent of his sin. Notice in verse 24, the last verse, "Men do therefore fear Him. He respecteth not any that are wise of heart." And I believe that Elihu thought that Job was a man that was wise in his own conceits and didn't have the fear of God that he should have had. Now notice verses 15 and 16. In those verses, the Bible talks about God disposing the clouds. And so with the idea of disposing, we may think about God distributing the clouds, then God causing the light of His clouds to shine. The sun shines, and the clouds have a reflective quality, and then God's balancing of the clouds. As far as God's balancing of the clouds, the Lord, of course, doesn't have all the clouds piled up in one place, but instead He scatters the clouds about. We might think about a balance where there's something put on one side and something put on the other to bring about a balance. And, of course, God puts the clouds where they ought to be in His wisdom, by His grace. He puts them where they ought to be. Then verse number 17. In verse number 17, we might think about the south wind. When the south wind blows, you may find that you're clothing is warm. You may find that when the south wind blows, and especially when the sun is shining, if you've got a jacket on, you may pull the jacket off, but don't forget this. The south wind can blow up a storm. And sometimes it might be there's very pleasant weather, as it might be said. It might seem as though the things are going well in life. But it might be that a storm is coming, it's just around the corner, it'll be there soon. The Bible in the book of Acts tells, beginning with verse number 13 of Acts chapter number 27, "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon." And so it might be that the south wind is blowing softly. It might be you think things are going well. You can go ahead and strike out and do something, not knowing that a storm is about to hit. The mighty Euroclydon hit the ship. Then, notice if you will, beginning of verse 18. Verse 18, the Bible says, "Hast thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong, and as a molten looking glass." Notice those words, molten looking glass. You might consider a mirror. If you read commentators, you may find the idea that this is a mistranslation, misrepresentation, that this looking glass that it speaks of here, that there was no such thing as a looking glass in that day. That there was polished metal, but there was no such thing as a looking glass, a mirror using glass. Well, even in our day, if you look at a glass mirror, you may find that there's a metallic, shiny metallic finish on one side, and then behind that, it is painted in order to seal that the shiny part, the metallic part. And I think they may use, electronically, they may apply the metal, and then paint over it so as to keep it from corroding so quickly. Well, I don't see any problem with, in the days gone by, them shining a piece of metal, polishing a piece of metal, and overlaying it with a piece of glass in order to keep it from corrupting so quickly. But I know this, you cannot correct the incorruptible Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God is uncorruptible and incorrectible. It is right. I think it may be wise for people that have got these kind of ideas, instead of trying to define the Word of God according to their own thinking and archaeological findings, it might be good for them just simply to accept the Word of God and then try to find out, how is this the case? And I think they may find out that perhaps there are some that are supposed to be experts in their fields that don't know as much as they think they do.
Right.
Well, I know this, the Bible's not wrong. The Bible is right in what it said. And then, notice beginning in verse number 19. Beginning in verse number 19, it seemed as though that Elihu answered Job somewhat sarcastically, "Teach us what we shall say unto him," speaking about God. "Teach us what we shall say unto him." Now, he spent all this time running Job down. And then he says, "Teach us what we shall say to him." And I think he was scoffingly speaking to Job. In fact, all three of the friends and Elihu had spoken so negatively about Job. Now, if you will, drop down to the last verses 23 and 24. And I believe in those verses, Elihu gave a veiled criticism of Job. Beginning verse 23, "Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Men do therefore fear him. He respecteth not any that are wise of heart." And I believe that Elihu thought that Job was a man that did not have the fear of God that he should have. Job was a man that was wise in his own conceits. Job was a man that needed to repent of his sins. Now notice, if you will, I want to go back to chapter 37 and verses 21 and 22. The Bible says, "And now, men see not the bright light which is in the clouds, but the wind passeth by and cleanseth them. Fair weather cometh out of the north. With God is terrible majesty." Now, I use the terminology of something like Elihu used, God, the cleanser of the clouds. Think about the clouds being in the sky as a veil to, as a ceiling between a person and the sun, so that the bright light is not visible through the clouds, and then God sending the wind that passeth through and cleanseth those clouds. In verse 22, the Bible said, "Fair weather cometh out of the north." Now, of course, it is true that fair weather comes as a result of the wind from the north. Proverbs chapter number 25 and verse 23, "The north wind driveth away rain." If we look geographically, if we look at the earth and we just consider the atmosphere of the earth, we might think about the north wind coming and blowing away the rain, blowing away the clouds that would be between an individual and the shining sun above. Of course, the sun always shining, but still the individual not being able to see the sun. And then a north wind blowing away those clouds, clearing the sky so that the sun shines upon the individual. If we look beyond this atmosphere, there is a north beyond the north of this atmosphere. In fact, we have some scripture, Job chapter number 26 and verse number 7. "He stretcheth out the north over the empty place." Now, you might have read about a huge hole in the atmosphere, a huge empty place. An empty place might be the best way to describe it, and that's just the way God described it. "He stretcheth out the north over the empty place." I believe I've read, and I don't accept all this stuff as absolute truth. The Bible's true. But I think I've read that, the speed of light is 186,000 miles per hour. Second? Thank you, brother. And it would take 100,000 years to cross that area traveling at 186,000 miles per second. A huge hole. Years ago, went to a little Southern Baptist church, and there was a man preached there about Jesus Christ. I might have been 13 years of age or so, but he preached about Jesus Christ taking the blood, his own blood, from the after he'd shed it upon the cross, taking his own blood up to the mercy seat and going through that area to the north to apply his own blood to the mercy seat. The Bible does say this. These are the words of Lucifer. "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." There in that scripture, the Bible talks about the sides of the north. For Satan speaking, Lucifer speaking, talking about exalting his throne above the stars of God, ascending above the heights of the clouds. In the midst of all that, he said, "I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time there, but we might consider beyond the north of this atmosphere, there's another north, as it might be said. And I think it seems to be the indication that God is to the north. Fair weather cometh from the north. The best days you'll have in life are the days when you're under the control of God. You are submitted to God. Fair weather The best days of your life will be the days that you are living completely surrendered to the Lord within the will of God. I want to make an application here. God is the cleanser of the clouds. First of all, consider this, the clouds of sin. The Scripture says in the book of Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 22, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. There the Lord said, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions. God's blotted out. That's from God's viewpoint. God has blotted out our sins. But then there's another viewpoint, and that is that of the individual. The individual that's upon the earth, and he's trying to get a prayer through to God. And yet, he's not able to get a prayer through to God because, as it might be said, there are the clouds of sin that are blocking him. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 59 and verse number 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. You cannot walk in the light as he is in the light and have fellowship with him as you should if there's sin between you and God. As a believer, of course, you are to confess your sins. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But so often believers are not walking in the light as they ought to walk in the light, but instead they're walking in darkness because they have refused to repent of sin, they've refused to confess sin, and because of that, they can go through life not having the direction that they need. They may have decisions to make in life, but not be able to make them as they should because they don't have the light that they need. But God is the cleanser of the clouds of sin. If you're having trouble getting through to God, if there's unconfessed sins in your life, if you'll confess those sins, God can remove those so that once again, you can get your prayers through so that you can walk in the light as you ought to walk in the light. We have that song. Here's a portion of it. A friend I have called Jesus, whose love is strong and true, and never fails howe'er 'tis tried, no matter what I do. I've sinned against this love of his, but when I knelt to pray, confessing all my guilt to him, the sin clouds rolled away. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like his great love. God cleanses the clouds of sin so that once again you can get a message through to God, have fellowship with God, get guidance from God. A wrong decision can be so costly. The children of Israel made a wrong decision. They spent 40 years wandering in a wilderness. Some wrong decisions may cost you an hour. Some may cost you a day. Some may cost you a week. And some may cost you the rest of your life. It is so important for those of us that are saved by the grace of God to have the guidance of God. I preached in the past on what do you do in the wilderness? What do you do when you made a wrong decision? The door shuts behind you and there's no going back. The people that wandered in the wilderness, God still had instructions for them. The people that wandered in the wilderness, they were still supposed to worship God. People that wandered in the wilderness, they still had work to do for God. There were still things that they should have done, even though they made that bad decision, and so many of them would never, never enter the promised land. But still, it would have been so much better if they'd have just simply obeyed God and entered right into the promised land. It is so important that we do not let the sin clouds come between us and God. You can't understand your Bible as you should. You can't get what you should out of your Bible if the sin clouds are between you and God. You're not going to have the fellowship, the free-flowing fellowship with the Father that you ought to have if the sin clouds are between you and God. But God is the cleanser of the clouds. Then let me say as well, God is the cleanser of the clouds, of the storms of life. There's that portion of Scripture that we may hear quoted sometime. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Have you ever noticed the uncertainty of how long weeping will last? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The storms of life really are relatively short-lived. In fact, none of us have got very long to live anyway. And so often, even though sometimes storms are intense, they're relatively short, you look at what is recorded in the book of Job and all that Job went through, and yet I believe it made up a relatively small part of his life, even though it was an extremely intense trial that he went through. I believe it made up a relatively small amount of his life. He had prosperity before, he had prosperity after, but during that time, it was tough. Now, thank the Lord, even though sometimes storms come, God knows just when to blow them out of the way, move them along. God knows just when, that's enough, you've had enough. Now it's time to blow the clouds away, let the sun shine again. And oh, what a blessing it be when the storm passes and the sun shines again. What a blessing it can be when you're no longer drenched, as it might be said, you're no longer scared, but instead there's a bright and shining day ahead. In Psalm 107, there is some wonderful scripture, beginning with verse number 23. It's one thing to be in a storm on land, but imagine being in a terrible storm in an ocean-going vessel years ago in the days in which the vessels were made out of wood. Here the Bible says, beginning of verse number 23, they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. Now, the great vessels, the Bible talks about ships. The Bible doesn't talk about, you're going to have a vessel that goes out into the great waters. You need a great vessel. You don't need to go out there in a kayak or canoe. You need a great vessel. Let me tell you what a great vessel is. A great vessel is a vessel when Jesus is the captain. It doesn't matter how much talent an individual has. It doesn't matter how great a work it seems like the man is doing. A great vessel is a vessel that's got Jesus on board. You know what great waters are? Great waters are the will of God. Somebody might say, well, the will of God, you say you're in the will of God and your work is so small. I don't see this place packed out. I don't see you building on. Somebody might say, are you talking like it's a great work? As long as you're in the will of God, those are great waters to sail. And when a man starts sailing the great waters of the will of God, then he may see the wonders of the deep and the works of God. Notice what the Bible says. In verse 24, these see the works of the Lord and wonders in the deep. A man that has Jesus as his captain, that is sailing on the great waters of the will of God, may see things that other people do not see. Experience things that other people do not experience. But then as well, notice this, great waters are subject to great storms. Beginning with verse number 25, for He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then They cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, or are they glad because they be quiet? So He bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. If you got Jesus as your captain, you're letting Him control the ship, you're sailing on great waters of the will of God, you're doing the business of God on great waters, remember, great waters are subject to great storms. And sometimes it might be when you are doing just exactly what you ought to do, that you'll find that there is a tremendous storm that comes your way. I noticed they were glad. And I imagine a sailor can be very glad when the wind quits blowing, the sun starts shining, and everything is still. But you know, when everything is absolutely still, you don't move very fast in a sailing vessel. It can help to have some wind. And sometimes I think we may be so thankful that everything's calm, and we don't realize we need a little wind in life. It'll help us have a little wind in life. Now, God is the one that is the clearer, the cleanser of the clouds of sin. God is the one that is the cleanser of the storms of life. And then consider as well, the clouds as a scroll. In the book of Job and chapter number 22, Eliphaz said this, "How doth God know? Can He judge through the dark cloud? Thick clouds are a covering to him that he seeth not." Now this is an accusation. This is an accusation. He was accusing Job of saying this, and this is after other accusations. In fact, he accused Job, "For thou hast stripped the naked of their clothing. Thou hast not given water to the weary to drink. Thou hast withholden bread from the hungry," and other accusations. And then these words, "How doth God know?" He accused Job of saying that. "How doth God know? Can He judge through the dark cloud? Thick clouds are a covering to him that he seeth not." But you know, a lot of people in this world, they act as though God doesn't even see what they're doing, that they can do things that are terribly wicked. God can't, as it might be said, see through the thick cloud. He doesn't know what I'm doing. Psalm 10 is a great psalm to look at to see the attitudes of wicked men. And so often I think wicked men act like God does not see, God does not know, and God shall not judge. But think about those clouds, as it might be said, and the heavens as a scroll. And imagine God rolling that back so that men could see God. Have you ever noticed the words in that song sung so often, but the words of "It is well with my soul" that say, "And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul." Notice those words where it says, "The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. My face shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll." In the book of the Revelation, in chapter number 6 and verse 14, there's some other scripture in Isaiah, but Revelation 6:14, the Bible says, "And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together." And then Revelation 6, beginning with the next verse, 15 through 17, "And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every man, every free man hid themselves in dens and in rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now the context is that the rapture is taking place, the tribulation has begun. The seals, they started opening, or Jesus Christ started opening the seals. He comes to the sixth seal. The sixth seal is open. Then the heavens roll back like a scroll, and men see the Lamb. Now, I certainly don't believe they'll see Him in all His glory, but men see the Lamb. And men are fearful of the wrath of the Lamb. Men hide themselves because of the wrath of the Lamb. Oh, we need men to get a glimpse of God. We need lost men to realize God does see and God is angry. We need saved people to get a glimpse of God and to realize how unholy we are and how holy He is. I do not believe that in my lifetime on this earth that the sky is going to roll back as a scroll and I'm going to see Jesus in heaven, but still, I needed to get a glimpse of God. Isaiah saw God high and lifted up. He said, here am I, send me. We need to get a glimpse of God. It's interesting. In that scripture, you have where men are hiding themselves trying to get away from God. And yet on the other hand, you and I that are saved by the grace of God are to love His appearing. And I believe if our hearts are right, we'll love His appearing. And so think about that time to come in which you might say that God will cleanse away those clouds, God will roll back the sky as a scroll, and men will see God. And then, last of all, consider this. Consider the cleanser of the clouds, God the cleanser of the clouds, cleansing the clouds of self-serving preachers. The Bible says in the book of Jude, verse 12, these are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds are they without water, carried about of winds. In Ezekiel 34, verse number 2, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Now, that's the Word of God. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? I believe that if a man, a preacher, does not feed the sheep as he should, he does not love Jesus as he should. Now, the Lord's going to deal with that. For one thing, all of us preachers that are saved by the grace of God, all of us are going to stand before God, and all of us are going to be changed. And so, all of us will get right, we'll get things right. And for all of us that have been negligent in feeding the flock, we'll stand before God, and we'll get right, we'll admit we were wrong in what we were doing. But then, consider all of those that were phony preachers, fake preachers. Imagine all of those that were clouds without water, carried about by the wind. Imagine all of those that should have repented themselves and gotten right themselves. I want to go to one more scripture, if you will. Go to the book of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. If the rapture took place today, then of course there would be 7 years of tribulation. And then after that, the I believe the judgment of nations would take place. And then after that, there would be the kingdom, and it would go on from there. But in the book of Matthew, in chapter number 7, the Scripture talks about ones that are shall stand before God. Notice, if you will, let's see, beginning of verse 20. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Then it goes on. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And then notice this. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I want you to notice this. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, cast out devils, and done many wonderful works? Now, the Bible doesn't say Jesus said. It doesn't say Jesus said that they cast out devils, they prophesied, they did many wonderful works. They said it. Imagine people standing before God, and they're trying to excuse themselves before God the judge, Christ the judge. And as they're standing before the judge, telling the judge, didn't I prophesy? And didn't I cast out devils? Didn't I do many wonderful works? If the rapture took place today, then all of those that are just simply fake preachers and phony preachers, and some of them may have been acting like they were casting out devils, and some of them may have been acting like they have been prophesying and acting like they have been healing people and acting like that they were the men of God. Imagine the rapture taking place, and if they last for 7 years, standing before God and trying to explain to Him, well, Lord, didn't I prophesy? And then I cast out devils, and then I do many wonderful works. And the Lord shall say, depart from me. I never knew you. When God gets through, there won't be any more of these fake and phony preachers. God will deal with the fleshly believing preachers when they're raptured, when they're changed. And then those that are just simply fakes and never been saved by the grace of God, God will deal with them. Revelation chapter number 20. Thank the Lord, God is the clearer, the cleanser of the clouds of sins. You don't have to go on with sin between you and God. God can cleanse that out of the way. Thank the Lord, God is the cleanser of the clouds of storms. So often, storms don't last all that long. Even if they're hard, they don't last all that long. And God is able to roll back to heaven as a scroll. He shall in the future. But we need to see Him now, high and lifted up. Then thank the Lord, God will take care of all those fake and